Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Mindset, today's message. Mindsets, we all have mindsets, preconceived ideas. And the sad truth is many of us have faulty thinking. As a matter of fact, we come into this world with faulty thinking. That's why we need to get saved. That's why we need to learn and study the Bible, to get proper thinking. Well, I want to just reflect a few minutes here, the dangers and the reality that our thinking can be faulty. Consider the absent-minded professor. He called his biology class to order shortly after lunch. Our special work this afternoon, he said, will be cutting up and inspecting the inward workings of a frog. I have a dead frog here in my pocket to be used as a specimen. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a paper sack and laid the contents on the table, and there laid a fine-looking ham sandwich. The professor looked at it perplexed, scratched his head, and said, "That's funny. I distinctly remember eating lunch." Well, sometimes we have faulty thinking that can really lead us to disaster. How about this one? How about distracted thinking? In 1933, Albert Einstein visited Dr. Gino Gutenberg, the senior seismologist at the California Institute of Technology. Einstein was greatly interested in the science of earthquakes and asked many questions as they strolled about the campus. Suddenly, an excited professor broke in on their conversation. They looked around to see people rushing from nearby buildings and the earth quaking under their feet. Gutenberg later confessed that they had become so involved in talking about the science of earth movements that they failed to notice the famous Los Angeles earthquake taking place around them. How about the absent-minded man who wanted so badly that night to remember something special, and no matter how he tried, he just could not come up with it. Finally, at 2 o'clock in the morning, it suddenly came to him. He wanted to go to bed early. And our faulty thinking can get us into trouble. How about this one? For all the gloss of modern Tokyo, tradition keeps a hold on many Japanese. One burglar was caught because, like all Japanese, he left his shoes at the front door before entering the house. Mrs. Toshiko Atsuka found the strange shoes when she came home and, like any neat Japanese wife, put them away in her cupboard. The burglar, surprised by Mrs. Atsuka, as he picked up her jewelry, ran for the door. Not finding his shoes, he paused long enough for Mrs. Atsuka's screams to summon a neighbor, happily a judo expert, and he gripped the criminal until the police arrived. Our thinking. We have to guard our thinking and think properly. As I said just a few moments ago, we come into this world with faulty thinking. We need to realize we are dead in trespasses and sin, and we need to realize Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and paid our sin debt. That's the foundation then of correct thinking. And every person comes into this world with faulty thinking, natural thinking, and it feeds its base desires. Some people may become very moral, some don't. The truth is we all need to become spiritual. And this is the essence of what thinking and changed thinking is. Proper thinking, or the converse, improper thinking, is a major theme in Scripture. Your thinking. This is spirituality in your brain. Think about the obvious. God gave us a book to study. And what's supposed to happen when we study that book, the Bible? It changes our thinking. It's to establish our thinking. It's to open our minds to the truth of all time. Did you ever come to grips and really step back and reflect on that for a moment? There really is a God in heaven that worked through His Holy Spirit to move men to write the Bible that we have today. Those are the words of an almighty God. They are the words that are necessary to get us through this life. And how often the devil wants to get us so distracted. We need changed thinking to become saved. And then once we are saved, please take a look at Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, talking to born-again people. The real essence of Christianity is not outward compliance. Well, I go to church because I know it's the right thing to do. I go to church because it makes my wife happy. I go to church because my parents make me come to church. Whatever. It's not outward compliance. I did my duty to God. And we leave it Monday through Saturday, and Sunday, all of a sudden, well, we'll do what we need to do because it's right. The truth is God wants your brain to change. The old expression, right? We need to be brainwashed in the blood of the Lamb. We need renewed thinking in the spirit of your mind. Folks, this is it. We need to be spiritually minded people. Do you realize how much that would change your life if you honestly believed God? All worry would be gone. Never again. It would be an incredible blessing. It would change this world. But the problem is, old faulty thinking dies hard because we have mindsets. And we all have them. And this idea of the faulty thinking dying hard is the essence of this message. We're going to consider the disciples with Jesus, and they had faulty thinking. And Jesus was trying to, you know, yoo-hoo, is anybody in there? Lights on, nobody's home? Are you listening? How many times did Christ say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear? You don't hear with your ear, you hear with your brain. The ear is only the conduit to get the vibrations up to the brain to translate it into an intelligent thought. The two key verses for this message, Proverbs 16:2 and Proverbs 3:5. Let us read Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That is the normal mindset of people. We're right all the time. The reason you do something is because you've decided it's right. Everything from the food you eat to the clothes you wear to the places you go to the time you do things and on and on. It's established because you fundamentally think you're right. And I fundamentally think I'm right. If we didn't think we were right, we wouldn't do it. But we fundamentally think all the time we're right. There it is. All, not some, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Of course this is right. And God wants us in Ephesians 4:23, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind because some of the things that you think are so warm and wonderful aren't so warm and wonderful. And you need to change. But not outward compliance only, the true inner man. Renewed thinking. And how about Proverbs 3:5? Very popular verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Underline this. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Your faulty thinking. Don't lean on that. Now, we obviously have fundamental thinking to go out and do our grocery shopping and fundamental things. But when you really come down to the foundational thinking, we need to make sure we are doing and thinking the way God wants us to think. All the time. In all that we say and do. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Because we can reason this. Well, this is right, this is right. What's the matter with this? God says, I know, earthly speaking, that makes sense to you, but keep going. Hang in there. Grow in my word and you're going to understand. See things God's ways. Our natural thinking is faulty, but we often don't realize that. Let me give you one on the lighter side. Ready? The average girl needs more beauty than brains because the average man can see better than he can think. And then on the serious side, your mind is a sacred enclosure in which nothing harmful can come except by your permission. Your thoughts. Control them. Control them. thought control. Think properly. Think spiritually all the time. Well, we're going to consider the disciples briefly this morning. They traveled with Jesus approximately 3 years thereabouts. And in those travels, they heard his teaching. They saw his life. They experienced the miracles. Yet, they were prone to miss profound teachings that were presented to them. And these errors of the disciples are for our admonition that we won't repeat the same things wherein they failed because of our faulty thinking and its collision with spiritual truth. Therefore, what I want to do is look at three times in the scripture when Jesus taught the disciples that he would be crucified and rise from the dead. Please take a look at Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Jesus here meets the disciples so that he can acknowledge them that he was Messiah. Luke 9, 18. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "Well, John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." And then he made it personal, and he said in verse 20, he said to them, "But whom say ye that I am? Who do you think I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightway charged them and commanded them that they tell no man that thing. It wasn't ready for it to be mandated publicly. And you say, well, isn't that odd? They had enough to get saved. They've had enough knowledge on this earth for the last several hundred years to get saved. He says, right now, the moment is not right, because when everybody hears this, guess what? I'm going to be flooded and I won't be able to do what my Father wants me to do. So it's not that he was hiding truth. They already had enough truth. But not now. Don't proclaim this. Look at verse 22. Here we are. Saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." What's not clear about that? It's pretty straightforward. But they have a mindset. Do we not have a mindset? And sometimes principles are presented so clearly. Let's go to a parallel passage in Mark. He gives us a little more insight with this. He has just spoken this wonderful truth in Mark 8:32, and he, Jesus, spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Excuse me. It didn't register with Peter. In my mindset, Peter's saying, that's wrong. And I'm not ashamed to let God know he's wrong. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's powerful. God is gentle. God is merciful. But when you start messing with the fundamental gospel, God says, no. We're getting that straightened out publicly. Satan, you're of the devil. Your thinking right now is pathetic. Now, I'm still considering this the first time, but it says here 8 days later, Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days later after these sayings that Peter and John and James went up into a mountain to pray. And of course, there was the transfiguration, and where Moses and Elijah appeared there on the mountain with them. And in Mark again, Mark 9:9, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And verse 10, and they kept that saying unto themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead should mean. It means rising from the dead in the Greek. They couldn't register. And you'll understand this as we get into this message. They had a mindset that can't be. You're not going to die. Let's take a look at the second of our illustrations here. Again, in Luke 9, consider this. In Luke 9, start at verse 44. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered under the hands of all men. But they understood not this saying. It was hid from them that they perceived not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. They're not getting it. And how many times does God keep truths from us because we're not ready to hear it? Our mindset, we have got problems. And we're not listening. It's not that God hides things because he doesn't want us to know. It's he hides things because we're not ready to listen. What is so hard? Let these sayings sink into your ears. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood, they perceived not. Christ is speaking very plainly. They're not getting it. They have faulty thinking. What was the faulty thinking of this time? Incredible pride. I'm spiritual. Folks, the day you really feel you're spiritual, you're not spiritual. Take a look at this. Here it is, the very next verse. Let's read 45. But they understood not this saying. It was hid from them that they perceived it not. They feared to ask him. Why was it hid from them? Verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them who should be the greatest. Spiritual pride will keep you from hearing truth. Faulty thinking. We think we're somebody. God says, you're not going to understand spiritual truth. You're blinded. Your mindset is wrong. And Jesus went on to rebuke them. Verse 47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. See yourself for what you really are. A sinner saved by grace, made of the dust of the ground, and the breath of life came to us. And when we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're something in Christ. But in the flesh, we're nothing more than a tool in the hand of God. They still didn't get it. Let's take a look at the third time. Luke 18. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. They're not getting it. Their mindset is not ready to comprehend truth. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. Three clear times here we've seen this. Jesus Christ told them the truth. Because they had a mindset. They're not ready to hear it. Do you come Sunday after Sunday and have some preconceived ideas? And you think you're hearing what's being said, and the truth is you're not hearing what's being said? Because we have mindsets. And we think we understand. And we don't understand. And he's talking, what are you talking about? I don't know. I mean, because I'm just fine, just the way I am, the disciples thought. And he's saying, you're not listening. You need me to die and rise again to pay for your sin debt. You're not getting it. And how many times do Christians, I'm fine just the way I am. Here's usually how it goes. God loves me just the way I am. Yes, he does. And he wants you to change and renew the spirit of your mind. Because when you get changed in here, and then your behavior changes correspondingly with that. But he doesn't want just change with an outward compliance. He wants the true inner man to change. This is why we've got to be so careful for our own understanding. It's hard to break that sometimes. You mean that's wrong? Yeah, that's wrong. Don't do that. Or do that, something that you don't do. So it is, they still did not understand. They did not have childlike faith to believe. They had a mindset concerning how things are to be with Messiah. And this is a key point that I want us to get today. They had a key point that they understood this is how it's going to be. Let us remember, Luke 9:20. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, thou art Christ. And how long did it took him? In verse Mark 8:32, he spake it openly, and Peter took him to begin to rebuke him. See, the problem was faulty thinking. They had a fundamental mindset about spiritual pride and about Messiah. And I want us to understand this. Jesus Christ came into this world at approximately the age of 30. He started his public ministry. And at one point, he came into the synagogue in Nazareth, and I want you to get this now. The learned scholars are there, and Jesus Christ comes in, and he comes up in front of the group, and they bring the book to him. Let us read Luke 4:17. And there was delivered unto him, Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and here he is in verse 18, he's quoting from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now remember, he's claimed to be Messiah. And they don't want to hear this, that this Jesus of Nazareth is Messiah. And he is standing there, and he opened the book, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And you say, what's that got to do with this study? Well, I'm hoping you understand this when I'm done. Jesus Christ stood up in front of these priests and Pharisee hypocrites. They were rejecting him. How can you be Messiah? What do you mean Isaiah is talking about you? Let's go back to Isaiah and read exactly what Isaiah said that Jesus quoted from. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2 of Isaiah 61, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in Luke, he closed the book right there. He stopped reading. Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and Jesus stopped reading, but Isaiah didn't stop. He put a comma, not a period. Let us notice what Jesus didn't read. And the day of vengeance of our God. You say, okay, so what? Folks, the first time he came at the acceptable time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, the proper, the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the first coming. But as he kept reading, the day of vengeance, that's the second coming. You got it? He preached, he is saying, right now, I came in the fullness of time, the acceptable year, to save this. They couldn't understand two comings. They saw one. When Messiah comes, he is going to bring vengeance, especially on ugly Rome that's now occupying their land and all their enemies therein. But Jesus, when he read, he stopped. It made them mad enough that they said he was the Messiah, but they couldn't wrap their brain around there's two comings. You see, between that little comma, verse 2, Isaiah 62:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, that comma has about a 2,000-year delay till the vengeance comes. This is why you can go other places in the Old Testament and find this merging of the two comings. And they couldn't get it, and they were not listening. They were expecting Jesus to come. Messiah is going to deliver us and bring vengeance, and he's going to bring in the kingdom, and Israel is going to be restored to its glory. That was their mindset because they didn't fully understand what the scripture was saying. And so it is Jesus Christ stopped reading because the vengeance still hasn't come. That's not going to come for at least another 7 years because there's a rapture and then there's the 7-year tribulation, and that's when Jesus Christ returns to rule and reign. It is certainly a time of trouble, the seven. That's vengeance. But they couldn't see two comings. They had a mindset. What do you mean you're going to die? So it is, the disciples also had this mindset. What do you mean you're going to die? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he had been seen by at least 500 people, And then he took his disciples up on the Mount of Olives. He had his last words. But look at this. Look what the disciples said to him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they were come together, Jesus and the disciples, they asked him, saying, Lord, they're on the Mount of Olives. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? We don't get it. The Old Testament, they didn't call it the Old Testament, told us, the scriptures tell us, you're going to bring in the kingdom. Are you going to do it now? You get it? They had a mindset. Of course, you're going to bring in the kingdom. And he says, I'm going to die. No, you can't die. What do you mean you're going to die and rise again? You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is where the Pharisees were. We don't get it. What do you mean? That it's all about you. You're the Messiah. The Messiah is supposed to bring in the kingdom. Aren't you supposed to be on a white horse? No, the second time, yes. Not the first time. There's two comings. The truth is, if you were to go to these disciples, they would cite Old Testament passages and say, see, Messiah is going to bring in the kingdom. What do you mean he's going to die? And how many times can we look at Scripture, we don't fully understand it, and so we come up with faulty thinking. This is why it is so important that we study the Word of God. Why do you think God gave us a book? To study. Why do you think he's established churches with pastors and teachers to study? Why do you think he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth, to teach us proper thinking? And even in Ephesians, Paul said, I pray for you people in Ephesus, and all believers basically, that God opens your spiritual understanding, because God wants us to think properly. How many times do we not let that soak in? We must let it soak in. So the truth is, sometimes we have enough knowledge to establish faulty thinking. And we have to keep learning in the Lord, and then truths start to open up. They did know Jesus Christ is going to come in the acceptable year of the Lord, in the fullness of time. But likewise, he's also going to come again. See, they had no idea there was a thing called the church age. That was a great mystery. What we're living in today, they had no idea. And if you look at the timeline of prophecy, this time when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, then the Holy Spirit came down, the church, this was completely unknown. And when it's all over and Jesus Christ snatches the church out of here, basically it's going to snap shut, just like it was when Christ was on this earth and ascended into heaven. It's like he's coming back. The Jew is going to be in the land. The Roman Empire will be some type of revised of that of old. And it's going to be just like it snapped shut, like it didn't happen. This was the mystery that they couldn't understand. So in one sense, we can't fault them for understanding, but by the same token, if God Almighty is telling you something, listen. Instead of holding your ground so tenaciously that truth becomes meaningless and all you care about is, well, I understand this and nobody's going to change it. The old expression, our thinking is like cement, all mixed up and rock solid. Right? This is not what God wants. God wants us to have a mind that's open. Oh, now I understand. Now I understand. Many, many years ago, right after we were first married, we lived on an apartment that you would descend the steps, and so ground level was, I don't know, 4 feet high. And therefore, when you looked out the windows, you were looking at the grass. And there was a little window, and I remember one day I heard this noise. And I go over to the window, and I see this little kid parking his bicycle. Now remember, the window's here, so I'm really looking at his tires, the bottom of the tires, and this little kid. And I thought, well, this is weird. So I put my face up to the window as close as I could get. It was one of those that cranked and they turned out and there was a screen. And this little kid gets out and he puts his face and he's looking and he doesn't realize he is 6 inches away from my face. And all of a sudden you could tell it registered, somebody's 6 inches away from me. And this kid went backwards Fortunately, he didn't hurt himself, and he hopped on that bike and was gone. He saw the truth. And how many times are we face to face with God and we don't realize truth, and all of a sudden it's, whoa, whoa, God's been talking to me. That's me. And when the light bulb turns on, it's almost frightening sometimes to realize how real God is and how he wants us to change and be like him. We're going through Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night. And one of the themes is there's nothing new under the sun. Do you understand what Ecclesiastes wrote about several thousand years ago are the very same pursuits people do today to find fulfillment? Nothing has changed. Okay, they didn't have MP3 players, but they had an orchestra. Music. And wealth. And buildings. And relationships. And knowledge. And accomplishments. And they're all the same thing. There is nothing new. Mankind may have different technology, but fundamentally, it's the same thing. We need to realize it's all about God. This is all going to burn up. Only what we have done for Christ will last. Are you listening to the Word of God? Is it soaking in? I hope so. Don't be like the disciples. We must learn from them. Don't have a mindset that won't be changed. About Christian growth? Or how about the gospel? Are you open to the gospel? Let me share something. I'm sure many of you have heard it. When you hear the gospel message, you need to turn from your sin. Let me share this. If you go to your computer, Bible software, and you type in turn from your sin, you won't find it. It's not in the Bible. Did you know? It's not in the Bible. If you type it into your computer software and say, take Jesus into your heart, did you know it's not there? I didn't make it up. You try it. And how many times do we repeat these things and yet it's not in the Bible? There is one passage that seems to mean take Jesus in your heart, and that's in Revelation 3, where Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Read it in context. Who's it talking to? Born again people, it is not a salvation verse. Now, do we technically take it into our thinking, our innermost convictions? Yes. But speak clearly. I have actually had people say, you have Jesus here pointing to your brain, but not here, your pump. Really? Tell that to a little kid, they take you literally. I do. I remember in school, elementary, I couldn't tell you what grade, but I'll never forget, the teacher was telling us about these massive trees in California, those giant sequoias. You can drive your car through it. And I thought, wouldn't the car crash? Well, she meant there was an arch through it, it could go through if it would. She didn't say that. She said, you can drive your car through that giant sequoia. Really? And I really did. I took her literally. And maybe you can think of times you took someone literally. Please don't tell someone you take Jesus in your heart. Speak clearly. It's the most important message of all time. Do you want somebody to be confused? Well, I got Jesus here. No. The truth is we're all dead in trespasses and sin. And it's not a matter of taking Jesus anywhere. It's not a matter of turning from sin. How many of you have turned from all your sin? How many sins does a person have to turn from to become saved? If we haven't accomplished it, how do we expect an unsaved person to accomplish it? Let's be careful not have a mindset. Well, that's what I grew up on. I'm going to use it. Well, maybe it's faulty. And maybe it's not the best way to do things. Let's speak clearly when we tell someone how to go to heaven. And let this hand represent you, and let this represent sin. And God loves the sinner, but God hates the sin. And there's nothing that the sinner can do to get rid of this. The debt is far too great. The sinner is far too inadequate. The gulf is beyond anything a man could ever accomplish. All of your good works will not buy one second in heaven. It will not do anything to this debt. And God in his love sent Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to take your sin and my sin. And Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the ultimate sacrifice because he was literally God. Think about that. Literally, God came down here and died for us. And he went to the grave 3 days and nights, rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? It's not turning from anything. It's when you realize in your mind, I get it. I have a sin debt that I can't pay, and Jesus paid it all. That's what saves me. It's not my good works in Jesus. It's nothing else. It's what Jesus did. I get it. I believe in him. He paid my debt that I could never pay. And the moment you believe, you're born again. Has nothing to do with taking Jesus in your heart or walking aisles or raising hands or turning from sin. Did Jesus lie to Nicodemus when he said, "For God so loved the world," that's you, Nicodemus, "that he gave his only begotten son to pay your sin debt," Nicodemus. "Whosoever," that's you, Nicodemus, "believeth in him, and his work of redemption shall not perish, but have everlasting life." What did he omit? Jesus gave him the full plan of salvation. Would you trust me as your Savior?
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.